Welcome to the New Schools Podcast. Something that we love about Acton Academy is the Children's Business Fair, where learners create a product or service and then go try to sell it publicly. The freedom and encouragement to be entrepreneurial at an early age is huge. Speaking for myself, it was perhaps the most useful part of my early education. Today's guest, Travis Adams, is the CEO of MyFirstSale.com. This is a virtual business fair platform enabling kids to become an entrepreneur for a day and to launch a real business in a matter of weeks. Through short video lessons, kids are guided through building their online shop and testing sales before their big launch. Parents and teachers get to hit pause on their lesson plans and take on the role of cheerleaders and encouragers. The platform can be used in conjunction with an in-person or hybrid fair and allows entrepreneurs to make sales before and after the fair so they can sell to people anywhere, anytime. Travis created My First Sale with his friend Scott Donnell. The two met at the Acton School of Business and have now served millions of kids in their own businesses. That includes a summer camp that Travis owns and operates in Texas, of course, where he lives with his wife and three sons. Learn all about My First Sale and a little bit about ADHD today with your host, Shannon Falkenstein and Travis Adams.
Hello, Travis Adams, and welcome to the New Schools Podcast. Thank you so much for being on with us today.
Thanks for having me. This is great.
Sure. Yeah, I'm really excited. So tell us, what is your favorite thing about working with young learners?
My favorite thing about working with young learners probably is, first of all, is just that you realize pretty quickly that every kid is unique. And kids cease to amaze you. I mean, you see it all the time, but it's just, you know, there's certain quirks and skills and, you know, each kid is literally one of a kind, you know, throughout history. And as you get to be around them, you get to see that come out.
That's awesome. And tell us about how did you come to start working with children? Were you a teacher? Like, tell us a little bit about your history and how you came to work with children.
Sure. So education and youth development has really, really started with my grandparents back in East Texas. My grandfather, Earl Adams, was a teacher and then a principal and coach and then a superintendent of schools here in East Texas he was superintendent, I think, for like 25 years. And my grandmother actually taught Spanish. So she was a Spanish teacher at the high school for years.
Wow.
And so I think education in a lot of ways is kind of in our blood as a family. Of course, I've got aunts and uncles, and my mom was a principal and teacher for a long time. So, you know, that's probably where it started. And then my grandparents actually started a summer camp back in 1965 called Camp Hawani. It's summercamptexas.com is the website, but, and it's a traditional summer camp, and their whole thing was they wanted to give kids a place to just be kids and play. And of course, all the things we know scientifically now about how healthy that is, they didn't know back then. They're just starting a camp. And, so grew up out there in the summers. And so got to be around, you know, a lot of my dearest friends and mentors and favorite people are from camp growing up. And so, you know, in 2010 or 11, so I was actually a financial advisor, went back to business school at the Acton MBA program in Austin, Texas. That's where I met Scott, who's the founder of My First Sale. He and I started a company called Apex Leadership Company, or Apex Fun Run, which helps schools, it teaches leaderships and helps schools raise money for their schools. So I think now we serve over like 3 million kids or something. And so Scott and I started that from nothing, right? And we both had a passion for kids. And then shortly thereafter, bought the camp from my parents, and my wife and I took that on as a project, which is a whole nother story, and helped just get our camp in a really good, healthy place and growth and all that good stuff. So anyways, you know, that's, so I did camp, and Scott continued, I got out of Apex Leadership Co, but he continued to grow that. And then when the pandemic hit, you know, Scott had been, he and Jeff Sandifer had been on the board of the Children's Business Fairs across the U.S. So as y'all have one, you know, at your school, but, you know, Scott, when the pandemic hit, he said, hey, this is the perfect opportunity to make the fairs available virtually. And he runs a publicly traded company. So he said, hey, Travis, do you want to run this thing? You know, and it was kind of our second chance to come together and do something that we were both passionate about. And so we started My First Sale, which is myfirstsale.com. And for those of y'all listening, so My First Sale is a learn by doing platform. We launch entire schools like we did with Shannon via a virtual fair, or you can do it yourself from home. But it's probably the most integrative learning experience your kids could have, because it does integrate grit and determination and the value of a dollar and budgeting and sales and marketing and math and, I mean, you know, interpersonal skills, all the things, right? But what it does the most and most importantly is it really helps the kids, begins to tap into their unique one-of-a-kind giftings. And we all know that, you know, DNA is scientific proof that no two humans are alike, right? They're all different. We're all different. And so our kind of big goal is we want to launch 1 million kid businesses. And we also what we do is we empower kids to take on the real world, because we all know that not every kid is going to be an entrepreneur, but every kid can learn to be entrepreneurial. And in the words of recently, if you're a Michael Hyatt fan, you know, if you know who he is, he just came out with a book called Entrepreneurs Will Save the World. So with all that's going on in, you know, in the world right now, which is a lot of chaos, we really do believe that kids can change the world. And when they learn their unique, you know, one-of-a-kind talents, that's how they do it, you know. So we're just trying to help kids discover that. And we get to work with schools like Acton Academy El Salvador. And, you know, we're talking to schools all over the country right now that are about to have a fair, a virtual fair. So, yeah, that's kind of the long story.
I love it. What a great story. You have a very deep and broad experience with children in many different environments. That's amazing. I will give a testimonial right here on the air that we did do a virtual business fair with My First Sale, and it was wonderful. What we really loved, you know, we're a big proponent, obviously, of self-directed education, because that's the heart and soul of Acton Academy. And so our kids took to it like a duck to water. But what I found even more impressive, you know, our kids are kind of used to doing that. You know, the pandemic didn't phase them when they went from one day to the next of just going home and learning. Mm-hmm. But what I found interesting was that we invited maybe half of our kids were not from our school. They were from conventional schools. And the way you all had it set up is that they were able to follow that DIY format and launch their businesses, and they absolutely loved it. So thank you so much. It was a really great experience, and I recommend it to anyone listening.
Yeah. Thanks for saying that. Well, it was so much fun for me. And then I think for me, the highlight, so I was talking to a school yesterday and out in California that's about to have a fair. And he was saying with the pandemic, especially in California, they're kind of shut down. And he was saying they're looking more kind of as a staff or as head of school, they're looking for more of those peak moments. And so I was telling him with your fair, one of the peak moments for me was when we did pitch night. And so you know, we had the kids on Zoom, they were pitching their businesses, we were giving feedback. But one of the questions was, you know, what was your biggest lesson learned? And to me, for me, that was actually an aha moment, even for my first sale and what we do, because the kids were communicating very clearly and articulately in third grade terms, which is the best, right? What they were learning and the value, the life lessons and just the real is, it was really impressive. So what they were learning. So, that was definitely a peak moment for me.
Well, you were a great facilitator and you were able to ask them those questions and they were felt so comfortable to speak with you. And then also you were like tagging what they said with those words like grit, perseverance, patience, interpersonal skills, so that they could like realize what they were doing. And that was very Acton-guidey of you.
Thank you. I've been taught. I've still learning lots, but
yeah, we all are. So great. So tell me about your own personal situation. I understand that you have three kids and they are in Acton Tyler.
Yep. Yeah.
So tell us, why did you, what our audience has lots of parents that are considering options. So tell us, why did you and your wife decide on Acton for your kids?
Sure. Well, we lived in Austin, Texas for a while. And we really wanted to get closer to East Texas because we do own Camp Iwani and we were hiring. We have an incredible directing staff for our camp. And so we were really trying to get closer to camp to really invest in our team and for those reasons. But so before we moved to Tyler, we actually bought the domain actonacademytyler.com because we were so invested that we were going to start the school if there wasn't one here. So serendipitously, you know, how it worked out was a few months before we moved, we get an email saying, hey, we're starting Acton Academy Tyler. Can we please buy the domain from you? And so the Timmons, they're amazing. They started the school here. And so we're like, great, we don't have to start it. We have somebody that's passionate like we are about the Acton kind of perspective. But I think for us, and first of all, my wife is a LPC intern. She's she's a very gifted therapist. And so, having her on our family team is just a huge blessing because she's way better at critical thinking and things like that than I am. But she, we were talking and really just, I think what got us over the edge, one was just asking questions, right?
Would you clarify, what's LPC?
Licensed Professional Counselor.
Okay. Go ahead.
Sorry. The jargon, the counseling jargon I've learned. So there's a lot of them, but yeah, licensed professional counselor. So she counsels, adults, teenagers, kids. You can't even get in with her because she's so booked. She hates me telling that to everybody, but I'm going to say that out loud on this podcast. Very talented. She's very gifted. But anyways, so we just started asking questions, and we're so used to, because I went to public school, loved my teachers, loved my principals. She did as well. She went to a very highly ranked public school in Austin. And so we both, we had definitely positives. But just asking those questions and, as your kids grow up from 0 to 5, you start to see your kids. And they're even more unique to you because they're your kids, but you've seen all these specific things. And like, we have three boys, very strong personalities, ADHD, and which we see as a strength, but, very challenging at times, but also just, we think are big strengths. But for our boys in particular, we just, them sitting behind a desk all day and getting one recess just didn't really jive with us. So we were just asking questions like, hey, why is school the way it is? And, thankfully now as parents, we can all go to Netflix or, whatever, Amazon, and watch documentaries that have some good information on like the great, Waiting on Superman is a great documentary. If you haven't seen it, it's a great one that really does ask those questions like, why is school the way it is? How do kids actually learn? What's the motivation behind why schools do certain things? All those questions. And so I think for parents, if you just start asking those questions, and you know, this I'm probably sharing more than I should, but the second part was, with Acton in particular, and there are other micro schools, and you know, but it just the idea, the belief that our kids are on a hero's journey. And back to, they have innate qualities that no other kid has. And I want to, for them to discover, and it's not like mine, if they had their own, how can they discover that so they can really live a fulfilled life, live a life worth that living, and a calling that makes the biggest impact they can and is most fulfilling. So the fact that Acton starts with, you know, they're on a hero's journey, and for the kids to know that, you know, is really, that's something that we strongly believe in. And even our summer camp, you know, our purpose statement is, you know, our desire is for all kids and staff to leave our gates knowing their true significance and purpose. So, you know, if you start with your identity and who you are, the kids, the more they do that. And the other part is, like, they love to learn. Just the, you know, is the school my kids are going to, is the main goal, loving to learn? Because if they love to learn, we know, and there's plenty of scientific evidence behind this, is that they'll take off, you know? So that was it. You know, I'm trying to think, you know, we went to, you know, for Bear's kindergarten year, we went to a very highly acclaimed private school here. But even at that school, it was very much like, well, they have to learn how to read by this time, and they have to do this, versus saying, well, actually Bear is a little bit different. He's a little more artistic. And so the funny thing is now, I mean, he's in first grade, but he's like wanting to read. He was actually in his bed last night. He grabbed our 1 year old's like electric book or whatever, and he's like trying to spell out words on his own, like at bedtime on his own. So for us, that's been a big goal. And then the last thing is just the other thing, if you're a parent, is you need to read the book Courage to Grow by Laura Sandifer. And so, you know, for anybody looking at Acton or just looking for what are some different options out there, that book really sealed the deal for us, you know. And we got to the point where we're like, they can't not go to Acton, or we really want them to go where they're going to be on a hero's journey. And that's all the curriculum and the learning experience is based about around that one idea.
Thank you so much for sharing that journey with us. Sure. So I'm hearing so many great things as a parent, and I love that. Like, you know, obviously we all love our kids and we want what's best for them. Like you said, we see them as unique and beautiful in all the world, and we want them to be in a respectful environment and that respects and honors that, right? And that sometimes conventional schools have a mandate to meet really clear goals, right? Like reading at X age or whatever. And then sometimes they use maybe some tactics that are not so respectful of kids or that don't honor them. So I thank you for sharing your journey from that angle. Let me ask you to put on a different hat and share your thoughts and opinions from the angle of being an entrepreneur. Like you just shared the now, like why you have them in Acton as the now, but then do you also think that this way of learning will be beneficial to them in the future?
Great question. So my mind immediately goes to a story. So, and hopefully this will answer the question, but so Mandy and I were looking at Acton Academies when we were in Austin, because our boys were getting close to that age. You know, it's funny how, I mean, my brother now, he has a son that's 3. And when they hit 3 or 4, then it's like, oh my gosh, we got to start thinking about schools, right? And, you know, in private school, it's like so expensive. So it's like, what do we do? You know, the options, you know, the good news for everybody is there's more and more innovation, right, for different types of schools that are happening. But anyways, we dropped in on this Acton Academy in Austin unannounced on a Saturday morning. The owner happened to be there. And so they said, yeah, I'll give you a tour. And so we just, you know, we start walking around, and it's just this really cool learning space and very unconventional, but very kid friendly. And so I saw some stuff on the board, and I don't remember what caught my eye, if it was like the name of a college or something, but I said, hey, what's this? He's like, oh, this is our sixth graders, and they're doing a project right now where they're, I can't think of the exercise, but it's basically where they project out based upon what they love to do, what college they will go to. So one, will you go to college or not? And then two, if you do, what college are you going to go to? And I think everybody had to pick a college based upon what they love to do. Then they had to do an exercise where they looked at what was the cost of the college. Would you have to take out a loan or not? And then if you did take out a loan, how long would it take you to pay that loan back? And so these sixth graders are going through this exercise that I didn't even think about until, you know, after I paid the last loan bill to my undergraduate, you know. And so and then some of the kids are thinking, well, you know what, I don't know if there's as much value in going to this school over this school, or maybe I should do something else, or maybe I should go to a junior college and really find out what I do love to do, so that when I do spend the money, it actually makes sense, both from an investment point of view, but also just from a fit, right? So I don't remember the question. I'm ADHD too, if you haven't, you can tell. So I forget a lot, but that, you know, I think you asked about value, is that right?
I asked kind of like, what is the value of Acton in the future, not the now of respecting your child, but also the future of like kind of success or whatever you want.
Yeah.
However you define that.
So it's like, you know, as a sixth grader, you're learning real world skills. And it's one of those things where, because they're taking the bull by the horns, it's not, you don't have to say, hey, when they get to be in a senior in high school, hey, you can't go to this school because it costs too much. They're going to be a step ahead of you saying, hey, mom, it's not worth it to pay $50,000 a year, like, to just get a general undergrad studies, you know, undergraduate degree. Like, I want to do this, this, and this, and here's the why behind it. And the parents, like, our hope is like, we're going to be like, yeah, go for it, you know? And again, going back, it goes back to the hero's journey. Like, they see themselves as a hero on a journey, and you don't have to convince them to do a good or a bad thing. Like, they understand. And they're probably going to be more invested and probably even have more insight than we do as parents, right? That's kind of the hope, because they will have thought about those things.
Yeah, I love that. And I totally agree. And I didn't think about the college. I didn't question the value of college until my husband one day just said, well, yeah, if our kids even go to college. And I looked at him like, are you insane? Like, did I marry an insane person? Of course our kids are going to college. And he's a contrarian. He's kind of ADD too. And he was like, he's like, no, really think about it. You know, the investment and the return on investment. And I was like, you know what? You're 100% right. And so that was like a big mental shift that I had to make. And so many Acton, parents or founders have said, like, even Jeff is like, yeah, I tried to tell my kids not to go to college, but they decided to go anyway, you know, because now they're pushing you to go to college instead of the other way around.
And it's interesting because, you know, we've interviewed on our Young Grit podcast. You've seen this, you know, some more famous entrepreneurs, you know, some Shark Tank members, and some, you know, Gino Wickman, who's wrote the book Traction, but some of those guys, and every one of them, you know, they did not, you know, finish college. And again, not to say I think college is great for lots of people.
Sure.
But it does make you think with Acton, you know, my hope is they'll be way more confident about their trajectory based on their journey, and way more plugged into their own wiring, mm-hmm. that they're going to make every step count. Right. Yeah. So it's not college or no college. It starts with like this is who I'm made to be.
Yeah.
These are my unique giftings. So the next logical step is I need to go, I need to go to like Costa Rica and go work on houses and just, mm-hmm. Learn the trade. Or I need to go. I met a girl this morning that just started a coffee shop here in Tyler, and she worked in other coffee shops and did a great job, learned everything. And then she just started her own coffee shop because she realized that she loved it, and you don't need a college degree to start a coffee shop. Right.
Sure.
So, my hope is, yeah, my kids will, and if they get, let me tell you, parents, if you just go to myfirstsale.com, let them start a business, then find the Acton Academy that's close by. Hopefully you'll save a ton of money and your kids are going to make, a bigger difference. That's kind of our hope. I know it's not that easy, but anyways.
That's a nice trajectory. Good one. So tell me, you just said my son is ADHD, and we see that as a gift or as a positive. So talk more about that, because I think so many people have challenges in school because of ADHD. I think people question its veracity when it is diagnosed. People are worried about giving their kids drugs, all that, right? The whole thing. So would you tell us more about why you see that as a positive?
Sure. So big disclaimer, obviously I'm not a doctor, so doctors are good to talk to. There's a good doctor. A good reference would be Dr. Rangan Chatterjee in the UK. He's a pretty well-known doctor that's like reverse type 2 diabetes. He's got some great stuff and great evidence on this kind of stuff about kids and health and just health for adults as well. But and not to say that not that kids don't need to be medicated. Definitely, I'm not saying that. But, before, the way I understand it, and again, my wife is a lot more knowledgeable of this as well. But she, she sees kids that are ADHD and parents that have issues. So she sees a lot more of this. Back in the day, long time ago, you had hunters and gatherers, but if we were back in the, when we actually had to go hunt and kill our food, right? My son, Barrett, we call him Bear. So that's Bear, the word behind that. I think it's English is strong, but he's a hunter, right? And so he needs to be attentive. He needs to be moving around. Like if we were actually having to survive, he would be the perfect hunter. So realizing that's how he's born. It's not an accident. And we don't want to squash that. And so, I think, and we see it at camp too, like kids will come to summer camp and they don't need their medicine. So think of it this way. If I ask you, if you're somebody that's, your health isn't great, you're struggling to have energy throughout the day, you're on these different medications to even just like stay awake throughout your day. If I could say, hey, I want to give you a secret pill, you take it one time, you'll have all the energy you ever want. You won't get tired, and who wouldn't take that pill? Well, that's my son, right? He has the energy. And so I think that's part of it, just understanding like, hey, it is a gift. Definitely it's more challenging, but like the other big question is, are we putting him in environments where he can, that part of him can thrive, right? They have, I think we have 3 or 4 recesses a day at our Acton Academy. He starts the day off moving, right?
Yeah.
In fact, I talked to one of our family friends here in Tyler the other day, and her son's been kicked out of 2 daycares. He's 3 and a half. I said, send him to Acton, and I don't know the whole story there, but they get to be outside. And so, and if you'll notice, most of you parents realize this, but if your kids, if you have an ADHD kid or a kid that's very active, and you spend, the other day we took them to the indoor pool and we swam for like 2 hours. Well, when we got home, they were chill, so he got that outlet out. So our perspective, and again, there are different perspectives, but our perspective is like, why is he wired the way he is? And are we putting him in environments that where he can thrive? Versus every kid has to go be in this specific environment at school every day. Like that just doesn't make logical sense. And, you know, as a parent, just, I think just asking those questions can help. That's, and then the last thing on ADHD is, we have, one of my mentors and Mandy's supervisor and, just one of the most brilliant men I know. He has ADHD, but to see him use that gift today as an adult is phenomenal.
He's, that's an example. He's,
so he's a supervisor. He's a counselor. He started our whole counseling center. And he's also our pastor. So he's a pastor of our church. He's has a eclectic counseling center. And he's a gifted teacher. So when you hear him teach and how he thinks about things, it's like, oh, wow, that makes so much sense. I never thought about it that way, but you just get to kind of see his mind work. And it's truly phenomenal. But, and he'd even say, I think he would say it's a gift as well. Like, his parents didn't squelch that when he was a kid. And now he gets a lot of stuff done and he makes a huge impact and his teaching helps a lot of people, you know? So, you know, you see people like him. His name's Chris Legg, but if you watch Chris in his element, he's using his gifts very, very just effectively.
Nice. That's great. I heard somewhere, and I haven't checked it myself personally, but that the diagnosis of ADHD is very context dependent. So like you were saying, you know, the human evolved in a totally different context where we had to, you know, hunt for game and gather and be nomads and all that. I'm an anthropologist at heart, so I'm right there with you. And then, you know, fast forward to now where, like you said, an 8-year-old is sitting at a desk for 6 hours a day, listening to someone talk and interpreting squiggles on a piece of paper, you know, language, right? Written language. And that's not really the environment that we evolved into. And now the diagnosis for ADD says things like can't finish work on time, can't focus on the teacher for more than X amount of minutes, can't sit still in chair. Well, those things didn't exist when we came about. So it's like remove the child from school, put them back in the forest, and now your problem is suddenly gone. So I really like hearing what you said. That really rings true with other things that I've heard. I've also heard that there's a higher percentage of entrepreneurs than the general population have ADHD.
Okay, that's interesting. I listened to one of Gino Wickman's videos the other day, and I think he says he has ADHD. So that is interesting.
Because Chris is also, Branson, yeah, there's like some, yeah, there, examples.
That may be true. But I haven't heard that. I haven't heard other than that. I know entrepreneurs that mentioned it about themselves.
Yeah.
And my son, he did launch his business. He's made almost $600,
you wow. know, on the live he's doing website.
T-shirts. Yeah. He likes to do art. So he did an art, like a watercolor, and then we put it on a t-shirt.
So cool. Yeah. The first year of our children's business fair in El Salvador was a live business fair. We kind of tacked onto another craft fair and my son did Minecraft t-shirts and it was really, really, that was a great experience. So fun. So great. Well, this has been amazing to talk to you. I always have a final question, which is if you could think of a metaphor for, an Acton type school compared to a conventional school, or even a my first sale type learning opportunity mm-hmm. compared to a sit in a desk and listen to a teacher talk opportunity, what would that metaphor be? I think that helps people to understand more.
Great question. Put me
Take
on the spot
time.
Here.
Take your time.
It's funny. My wife also is a lot better. She's a quicker processor than I am. So she would probably have a great answer right away. And I'm like, let me think about that. A metaphor for that. Okay. So I like to surf. I'm definitely, you know, everybody says they're a surfer, but I'm like a very novice beginner surfer, but, I would say it's kind of like if you were a surfer. I hope this lands the plane, but it'd be like taking your surfboard to like a small 1 acre pond. Okay. And that would be, even though you know how to surf and you love surfing and you're a lot better than I am, you're kind of stuck in that pond.
Okay.
Versus, going to, Kauai, let's just say Kauai, Hanalei Bay, one of the best longboard breaks in the world. And also the most beautiful, by the way. And, you've got the whole island, you've got the whole Pacific Ocean, and you can kind of surf anywhere. And really, to the max, right? There's all kinds of different waves you can surf. So that would be the difference, So put your kids, whatever they love to do, in the ocean, not in a 1 acre pond.
Oh, that's great. That knocks it out of the park, that metaphor. That's really, really good. And El Salvador is jealous that you're talking about Hawaii. El Salvador has amazing surfing. So
I want to come down there.
Time. We'll show, we're great with hospitality too. Very warm people. And we would love to take you surfing in El Salvador. Well, and your kids can go to Acton for the day.
I want to take you up on it. My wife, she would not say she's fluent, but she is fluent in Spanish. She was in Spain for a while. So she does know Spanish and she can speak. So we've talked about it. So we want to come down there.
Do you like beer? Do you like craft beer?
I do.
We also have a craft brewery. So
there you go. Sign me up.
So yeah, that was our first entrepreneurial venture, was starting a craft brewery 8 years ago now, I think. Oh. And it's now the largest microbrewery in Central America.
Okay. Give me a plug, or give your audience a plug, so I also want to go there. But what is it?
Okay, it's called Cadejo, which is Cadejo.
Okay.
Cadejo, which is a local legend, brewing company.
Okay.
So check it out. And we have a restaurant looking over the cliffs over the Pacific Ocean, like 2 kilometers from the surf, from the left break surf beach.
I'm assuming I can go to the website, right?
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
And see pictures. Okay.
Sure. And follow us on Instagram and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So, yay. Well, what a great conversation. Thank you so much, Travis. It was so interesting learning about your whole story. And I wish you the best of luck. I'm sure our audience learned a ton from you. And we will talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you. Take care.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the New Schools Podcast. Tell a friend. Previous episodes and show notes, including any books or websites our guests recommend, can be found at thenewschools.com. If you're a parent who is looking for a new school for your family, send us a message. We would love to help. We can answer questions, share the resources we have, and help you get in touch with people in your area who are on the same path, determined to provide their kids with the best education. It's wildly important work. Thank you for doing it, and we'll see you next time.